I wanna think about a message on this thought this morning. What does the church mean to you? What does the local church mean to you? Here in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to start up here with verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much more that as you see the day of approaching. We're in that day. We're in the day of the last part of that verse, in verse 10, where speaking of, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And what does the church, what does the local church mean to you? Well, it means a whole lot to me. It means to me a place to where I can come and I can get by myself and I can have some sweet fellowship with the people. And not only that, I don't have to worry about hearing filthy jokes. I don't have to worry about hearing all the curse words I hear that we hear out in the world, and we'll hear it. I mean, it's there. I mean, and they don't care who it is. They don't care if a lady walks up or not. I mean, they'll continue on just using the curse words and everything. And some of the words that they say, you know, I tell you, it's so embarrassing to anyone, but to them it's not. But it's because they are doing what they have been taught to do. They are doing exactly what they are supposed to do, because they're not serving a God, that the same God that we serve today. And you know, the early church is a place where they journeyed there, and they journeyed, and when they did go on that journey, they went on that journey, and they come to a place where they could get by themselves, and they could assemble together, and maybe in a house, or maybe somewhere else, but they assembled together in fellowship, and looking to God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, some people, matter of fact, I've had one to say something to me about that I don't need to go to church. I don't need to come to church. I can go right out to the middle of the highway if I got two or three more that's saved and knows Jesus Christ. I can go right straight out there in the highway, and we can have assembly together. I said, yeah, you sure can. I said, but I'm going to tell you one thing, but you're not going to stand there long, because you're going to have to end up moving because of the things of this world. And you need to think about the house of God. God Himself, He placed the church here for us, as for believers, that we would be able to come in and learn a little more about Him and everything else. Because if we go out these doors, we're going to get caught up in the world. And people today, they're being caught up in the world. And not only that, they are just going here and there. And they've turned their back on God. So many of them today. We got more people like that in the world that used to come to church. But where are they at now? They're in the world serving the same God that they wanted to serve back then. And that was the God of Satan. I mean, he is their God, but he's not my God. My God, he lives, and he lives within my heart and within my soul, and he keeps me from doing some things that I know if it wasn't for him, I would end up doing them. And you would too. But I'm so thankful that he loved me enough that he was willing to give me a place to where I could come by on Sunday. And I could go in there and be able to have a peace, a little peace and joy. And you know, that's what the church is. We are coming here today. The reason we're here today is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to give him the praise, to give him the glory, to lift him up. But when we leave the church, when we leave, we go out the doors at around 12 o'clock, a little after 12. We don't go out there to serve him and to worship him outside. We don't come in and we don't worship him here. Well, we can go out there and worship him also, but we've got a job to do as long as we do it outside them doors. We have to do the job outside. And it's the life that we live before the people. Huh? I know y'all have heard it, and y'all have heard it probably all your life, that some people, the only Bible that they will ever read is our life. And you know, when I was born into this world, and when the doctors brought me out and they smacked me on the rear end and got me to breathe and everything, I started my biography right then. I started my book right then. Everybody has a book that they have started from day one. The first 30 chapters of my book, not too happy with it. Not too happy with it at all. Because I was serving the devil. I wasn't serving God. I didn't know anything about God then. But I'll tell you one thing. But for the last 36 years, 37 years, that book is looking a whole lot better. It's looking a whole lot better. One day, it's going to have the final chapter. And it's going to say, the end. It's going to say the end for me. But why? Because I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to be there in heaven with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that died for me. And the one that's brought forth the church. The one that established the church. The where we could have a part of. You know, some we as Christians, we have so much that we really need to be thankful for. We have the church. I mean, he didn't have to provide us a church to where we could go, where we could come in and worship him on Sunday. But the church means something to me. It means the way I can come in and have fellowship with the individuals of like faith. Means that I can come in and I can meet each and every one and talk to you. See what kind of week you've had. We have to remember that the church was established for who? For me and you. That's what the church was established for. Who is the church? The church is not this building. It's not the sheetrock. It's not the wood. It's not the carpet. It's not the electrical line that goes through the walls and everything, where we can go over and flip a switch and We got lights on, or we can go over and flip it over here, the thermometer over here, where we can have heat, and we can have it at a certain degree, this summer we can have it as cold as we want it in here. That is not the church. This does not become a living organism. It does not become a church until the first Christian walks into this building. That's when it becomes a church. And when we all come in together, and when we're walking here together, we are coming and we're uniting together as one, as the body of Christ. If I hurt, you should hurt too. It may not be the same kind of pain that maybe I'm having. Same way with you. If you hurt, I need to hurt for you and with you. But I don't have to have the same type of pain. The pain that we need to have is in our hearts, because we know that somebody else is suffering because of the devil, because of the world that is around us. That's the reason we suffer. It's not because of anything that God's done. And there's really a whole lot of time, it's not really what we've done. It's what the world has brought upon us. That's the reason we suffer. We suffer because they suffer. I want everybody that I see, I want them to have the same kind of joy and the same kind of experience that I have every day. I want them to have the prayer life, that they can go to God and they can talk to Him. But people don't want to talk to Him no more. We even have Christians today. I'm going to use it loosely, but they don't want to talk to Him. They don't talk to Him. Only time they talk to Him is when they get in a predicament and everything, when they get laid up in a hospital or sick or something like that, and then they call on God. Until God gets them out of the hospital. And when God gets them out of the hospital, then they'll go home and they'll recuperate and everything. Where they at? You don't ever see them. They won't come to church. But God, what has God done for them? Look at everything God does for them. God blesses the sinners right here just as much as He blesses us. He gives them the same breath to breathe as He gives me. He touches their legs the same way He touches mine, and to strengthen mine, and He strengthens that where they can walk. He touches their ears also, to where they can hear. He touches their eyesight. You know, I'm a little kind of envious of Mr. Stamps. I really am. His cult father comes here and he's blind. But he knows this. He knows when he gets to heaven. The first thing he gonna see is his Savior. He ain't doing where he ain't worried about what they ain't him, but he ain't seen none of it. Because it ain't no more just filth and trash they ain't him. Right. I mean, but thanks be to God. I told him one day, I said, Brother Stamps, I said, one of these days you're gonna see. He said, yeah, I sure am. He said, when I do, he says, I'm gonna be looking at my Savior's face, right straight to His face. Yeah. Ooh, I'd love to be in that position, but I ain't. He has touched me. He has given me what I have. He's given you what you have. He's given us the church. He's given us a place of worship. He's given us a place of where we can come in out of the weather. We can come in out of the rain and out of the snow and everything. Where we can come in here and we can worship Him a little bit. And this summer we got a place where we can come in and get out of the heat. Because we're going to have air conditioning. You know something? God has spoiled us. He has spoiled us. He has spoiled America. He really has. If you really come to think about it, of all the other countries and around the world, they don't have it like we have it. I mean, He has really spoiled us. And we take it for granted. We don't even thank Him for what He gives us each and every day. The church is a place where we can experience joy. We can't go out here and leave here today and get out here on the highway and even go to a restaurant and eat. We can't go there and do the things like that and have the joy. You know the reason for it? It's because we know there's somebody else over there that they don't pray over the food. They need to be thankful for what God has given them. But I'd love for them to get saved. I would just love for them just to give the heart and everything to God. Save their soul. Because one thing about it, they'll never regret it. Never. I mean, I've even challenged people. And I'd be talking to them and everything. And they would open the door to where I could be able to talk to them about the Lord and how good the Lord is to me. And how good the Lord can be to them. And they could end up thanking Him more than what they do. And I tell you, I challenge them. I says, don't do it because of me. I says, but if the Holy Spirit, if something is tugging at your heart, if something is tugging at your throat, if something is tugging at your belly, if something is tugging at you somewhere, give your heart to God. If you give your heart to God, I will challenge you, if you give God a chance for 30 days, I'm talking about an angle. Majority of time, ain't before Sundays, 4 Sunday mornings, 4 Sunday nights, and 4 Wednesday nights during 1 month. That's not that much. You'll be surprised at how quick that'll go past. But you give Him a try for that. Give Him an honest try. They said, well, I can't come this week. I said, well, why not? They said, well, you know, some things that you don't know about me. I do a little drinking. I do a little smoking pot. I do a little shooting up. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. I said, if you're waiting to get your life straight and get your life in the condition the way you think that you can come to church, you'll never come. You'll die and go to hell. Because you will never give it up. You can't give it up. I said, but if you give God a chance, you come out and you do what God's asked you to do, God will take care of every bit of it. And you ain't got to go to no AAA. You ain't got to go to no drug rehab center or nothing like that. You ain't got to go to and spend all your money and waste it on stuff like that, because God can take it away from you. I can remember back several years past, me and Brother James Albert, we went to Mount Airy, North Carolina. Up there at Little Mountain Baptist Church. And one night, an individual come in up there that Brother, I can't think of his name now, but he was telling that this individual come in. And he just talked to him right before that at the gas station there. And he just invited him to come to church. And they was having a jubilee all week, preaching in the morning and preaching at night. And he come that Tuesday night. He listened. He come back Wednesday night. He got saved on Wednesday night. All right, bye-bye. We'll be thinking about you. We'll be praying for you too. But he had long hair. Brother Mike Pondexter, he was telling me. He said, you talking about a head of hair. He had a beautiful head of hair. He says, I know there's plenty of women out here would die to have that. It was long and just as curly and everything, and wavy and all that. He said he come back Wednesday night. Wednesday night, he went to the altar. The boy went to the altar. He got saved Wednesday night. He come back Thursday night. When he come back Thursday night, Michael was looking around. He said, oh no, what in the world is he dead? I know he didn't have to work. And the other preachers was looking for him. And the pastor of the church led him to the Lord. And he was looking for him. He just didn't make it back, and I know the devil just got all over him and then everything. And just told him, says, what you done? It's nothing to it. Wasting your time. Then the service come up. People started coming back to the altar. They get up on the altar. Now there's a man up there at the altar, and he was up there just a crying. And he was just a praying. I mean, he hadn't been praying all that long. Got up, they dismissed, and come over there and shook Brother Mike's hand, and the preacher, the pastor of the church, they led him to the Lord. He said, your name is, what's your name? Pastor asked him too, what's your name? You ain't been here this week. He said, yes, I have. Been here tonight. Says, I got saved last night. He said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, after I went home,
to Baldwin this morning, and they cut mine. Because I didn't feel right coming to church with long hair. He said, I cut it.
You know, Brother Bill Watson, he said, he was telling the people the next night, Friday night, what happened. He said, you know the young man that come Wednesday night, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and he was up here on the altar and he got saved Wednesday night? He said, yeah. Says, we looked for him tonight. He said, we couldn't find him. We didn't know where he was at. But he was here. He was here.
Brother Watson asked him, he said, brother, I was standing up. He said, I call you brother now. He said, how was you standing up? He stood up. They all looked at him like, what in the world? See, God can do it. See, God put something in you to where you want to do these things.
Right.
The devil don't put them type of things in your heart and in your life for you to do. Because really, right now, the only thing to do, you know what the devil wants out of us? Oh, he wants me and you. As far as the world like him, oh, he's going to let them alone. He's got them. Because they serving him like that. See, we're not serving him. We're here. But what he wants to do, he wants to get us out of church. He wants to just get us out. And to get into our minds of what I say, well, you know, well, such and such didn't speak to me today.
I don't know why he didn't speak to me. I ain't done nothing wrong. But they didn't speak to me. If they're going to end up being like that all the time, I ain't coming back. It's pitiful. It is pitiful. People like you are hurting. They are. We think sometimes that we are the only ones that hurt. And we are the only ones that has the bad experience. And we're the only ones that has to go the way that we go. But we got to realize one thing. There's always somebody else that's in worse shape. In worse shape. And I say that when it's lost, they're in the worst shape possible. Then the church is a personal place. We need to make it personal. When we make it personal to us, then when we go out here and we hear somebody maybe cut the church down, we'll say, whoop. Why are you going to cut the church down? You saying things about church. You don't know what goes on right there. You don't need to say anything. That's where things get started through other people. They say, well, you don't have that many like that. Well, big deal. One thing about it, what I can say, I got 100%. You go to any other church and see if they can say that they got 100% coming. I said, I got 100%. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about the people that comes into church because I know they're going to be there. If they're not there, I know they're sick. They're just not laying out. But not forsaking ourselves. from the assembly. No, not forsaking ourselves from the Lord. We forsake Him so many times. We are ashamed of Him. And when we are ashamed of Him, you better look up. Because He's a whole lot more ashamed of us than we are of Him. Paul, you know, I said something this past week, I don't know if I said it Wednesday night or whatever, about Paul. Before his name was changed, it was Saul. And he was a man that persecuted the believers. He had them killed. He had them murdered. And he had, that day, I don't know if it was, I don't know what day it was during the week, it doesn't make no difference. But that day, I'm thinking that maybe that day he went in to where he was, where he worked at, and he got his papers for that day. And he read them. And he said that he had to go to Damascus. And he got on the Damascus road. And he traveled that road, him and the other people with him. But as soon as he got in the middle, in the dead center of Damascus, where Damascus started and where Damascus was in, I believe that he was right in the center point of it. It doesn't say, but I believe that's where he was at. And he had heard something, and I believe it was a thunder. But when he heard it, it come down and it knocked him straight down to the ground. The other people that were with him, they had no idea what had happened. But that was when he got saved. Because right after that, he said this. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was a man that went out was to persecute the church, to have the Christians killed. It doesn't say that Paul had a that Paul put his hand to the sword or whatever, spear or whatever. But he was just as guilty as the one that went up there and cut the individual's head off. He was just as guilty because he gave the orders. And not only did he give the orders, but even at the back home office, they give him orders. So see, it didn't stop with just Paul. It just didn't stop with me and thou. It just didn't stop at the office. It didn't stop with the papers when they gave him. It didn't stop there. It went on back and it went on back so far when when Paul realized what he had and what had happened to him that day. He said, Lord. He knew what happened. He knew it was the Lord that brought him to his knees. And the Lord will bring us to our knees. Right. Sometimes he will do more than that. Sometimes that within families and everything where the children won't go to church with the parents or whatever, or the parents won't go and take the children to church, God always has a way to get somebody's attention. And I believe it's better for us to examine our own self, to get our own self some attention, than for the Lord. Because when the Lord wants us, when he wants to save us, and when he wants us to do his will and to do something for him, we will do it. We will do it. I will do it. It may have to cost me something dear to me, but I will have to do it. We all have to do the things that God has appointed us to do. God did not save us just to sit on a pew. God didn't save me just for me to sit on that pew. God didn't save me just to come here to church and to get in my automobile and go back home. God saved my soul that where I would not stay in the pew, that I would go out and I would get out and I would go out here and visit people. And I know the day and time that we're living in, especially in this area right now, it's getting terrible. It really is to where we can't go out because you never know. I mean, they've got these gangs in town and everything. These gangs will just come up and pull a gun on you and shoot you and kill you. Hey, it doesn't mean nothing to them no more. Life doesn't mean anything to them no more. They don't realize. They don't realize what's happening. They don't realize that the devil is giving them all this stuff to do. And I've had people to say to me, say, you know something? I love the devil. He's so good to me. The devil don't love you. The devil don't even hate you. He's a liar. And he's the father of all the lies. He can get to us. And I was thinking this week about someone, and I tell you, we really need to pray for her. Her and Brother Jamie. We need to really pray for them. And I'd love for you to just remember them when you go to the Lord in prayer. Her name is Kathy. And her husband's name is Jamie. But they say that she's lost her mind. She just... We don't think about things like that. We don't think about, really. Oh, yes, we can have our heads swelled. You can go out here and you can talk about me and everything. And then somebody else will come by and say, you know what they said about you? I said, man, they love you to death. I mean, they could swell my head.
But it doesn't make no difference how big my head gets. The brain, the mind that I have, it's nothing but just a little pea brain is all it is. It's all it is.
And we can say what we want to. But with what little mind we do have, each one of us, it is powerful. It is so powerful that it can take over our lives and we not even realize it. But the church is a place of fellowship. Church is a place of joy and happiness. And lastly, the church is where the spiritual believer can do something for God.
Like I've said before here, we've got plenty of room where we can grow. But if you go ahead and invite people to come to church, I may see you suddenly. I ain't got to the point I don't ask for that no more. Because I don't want them to keep on lying to me. Because that's what they're doing. They don't need to know what goes on in the church. What the individuals need to know, what goes on in our life through Christ. What is our testimony? Do we have a good enough testimony? Do we have a testimony like the Caleb had and still got? And over in the book of Nehemiah, do we have the testimony that Nehemiah had? Do we have the testimony that Abraham had? Do we have the testimony that Paul had and still got? When they threw him in the line, when they threw him and Silas in prison, there, what did Paul and Silas do? You think they had a pity me party? And they was, think about something. We got to try to get out of here. We can't stay in here. We can't get nothing done in here. That was Preston thought he had it. He thought he had it. The jailhouse rock.
He thought he had that cornered. He thought he'd made that song, but no, he didn't make that song. He didn't come up with that song. You know who did? God. You know who was the first that sung that song? Was Paul and Silas. Because when Paul and Silas sung, what happened? The jail started rocking. And it was rocking so hard that it started coming down. And then the old guard, he was looking around and seeing all the doors was open. Where some of them had already fled. But he come up to where Paul and Silas was at. Paul and Silas were still singing. They're still singing. You know where Elvis Presley got that little shape from that he had? He got it from the jail.
Because the jail rock, and it shook, well, open the doors. Then his soldier come by, and he seen when the door was open. He was going to kill himself. All of his duties do no harm to himself. No harm.
That's what he's telling us to do today. Don't do no harm to ourselves. Just don't do what you want to do. I would lead you. I would lead you in the path, in a pathway. I will give you the light that can shine before that path that we go through. And as we're going through that path,
before we come up on the tree that is felling our way, Jesus so sweetly, he just lets us know, let me take you that far. And he does, he takes the kid out for us. How many times are we supposed to leave the house at a certain particular, certain time? We're supposed to be going on a trip or something like that. We're supposed to leave at 9 o'clock on the dot, so we can get there at a certain time. Then we're 20 minutes late leaving. And then what do? We get in the automobile and we start complaining. Well, we're going to be late. They got out looking for us. But what we don't realize is what happened on the road before we got there. What happened? It may have been when we got to that stoplight. Instead of that stoplight being red for us, been green, and we're just going to go straight on through this green light. And then somebody else was coming the other way, and they run the red light, and they hit us right in the side. How many times have we missed things like that? But we complained that we had to leave a little late. We don't have anything at all to complain about. Not a thing. If anything, the only thing we need to complain about ourselves is that we're not doing enough for God. That's the only thing we can complain about. We're not doing enough for God. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, I just pray, God, now, Father, for the message, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'll just take it, Father, and you'll use it in a way where your Son can be honored and your Son can be lifted up. And Father, we do thank you once again for all the people that come out. We thank you for the visitor, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that each one of them got something out of the message today. That, Father, that we can live a little closer to you. And the church itself means a little more to us. Father, we just thank you for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for opening this door here to where I could come. And Father, I do not take that lightly. I do not take anything lightly.
When I'm up here reading your scripture, I know sometimes, Father, I may pronounce words in the wrong way or whatever. But Father, it's not because I just do it. Father, I still think about Moses when you was calling him. And Moses was also running from you, Lord. He said, I can't speak. You know, I've got a stammering tongue. You know, I cannot speak eloquent. And God the Father says, Moses, I know that. I know you can't speak. I know you've got a stammering tongue. I know that people can't understand you when you speak. But Moses, you've got a brother. You've got a brother that can speak for you. And his name is Aaron. Oh, Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we do have people that can speak for us. If we get in positions that where we can't. Now, Father, go with us now to our respective homes. And, Father, give each one of us a good day's rest. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just be with us this afternoon and you'll bring us back tonight, Father. And Lord Jesus, we just ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.